Support for NPR comes from the Annenberg Foundation, advancing public well-being through improved communication, on the web at annenbergfoundation.org.
Good morning. This is AM 580 News. I'm Michael Kuliska. A civil court trial alleging a priest sexually abusing an altar boy will start next week, despite a request filed by the Catholic Church with the Illinois Supreme Court to dismiss the lawsuit. The lawsuit filed in 2002 alleges James Wisniewski of Champaign was sexually molested by the Reverend Raymond Kovniacki of Duport from 1973 to 1978. He says he was 13 when the abuse began. Kovniacki was removed from the ministry in 1995 by former Belleville Bishop Wilton Gregory. More than a year of freedom is over for a Colorado prison SKP who was arrested in Champaign. Police say 38-year-old Aaron Smith was working as a house painter under an alias. Assistant Chief Troy Daniel says in an anonymous tip led detectives to Smith. Smith was initially imprisoned for an assault in Colorado in 1997. He tried to escape and received an additional 30-year sentence for the escape attempt and for assaulting a guard. The president of Champaign County's largest bank says even though it took a hit on its loan portfolio in South Florida, the bank's overall health is good. Busey Bank President Van Dukeman told a community forum yesterday that his and other Midwest banks will be able to ride out problems in the home mortgage industry. Dukeman says Busey's business is diversified enough to counter its exposure in areas where foreclosures are highest.
But the 23 or 24% in Florida is under stress, but we are obviously got our arms around it and we'll do fine. I'm glad we're not a bank that has 100% of its exposure to one of those markets, whether it's Florida or California or Arizona.
University of Illinois finance lecturer Kevin Wasby says problems for the banking industry stretch well beyond home mortgages into credit cards and other loans. Much of downtown Champaign will be closed to traffic today to accommodate the Festival of the Arts. About 80 artists will exhibit paintings, sculptures, jewelry and more from about 11 this morning until 8 tonight. There will be live music and theater performances as well. And thousands of people are expected to attend a public memorial for actor and Chicago-born Bernie Mac. The 50-year-old Mac died last Saturday. This is AM 580 News.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. There have been several important developments this week in domestic politics. A deal with the Obama campaign will put Hillary Clinton's name into nomination at the Democratic convention in Denver. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she'll only allow a vote on offshore drilling to come onto the floor if it's part of a comprehensive energy plan. But of course, the week's biggest unfolding story has been the conflict between Russia and Georgia. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schor joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And we're just going to talk about Georgia in this segment, because you you opened the CBS News Bureau in Moscow in 1955.
True.
You have had a lot of experience reporting not only events in Russia, but trying to understand the Russian mind. So let me address a few questions to you that maybe will help us understand that perspective.
Okay.
Why is South Ossetia important to Russia?
Well, the immediate reason it's important to Russia is that it has a lot of pro-Russian people there, many of whom have been given Russian passports. And because they are threatened, or so the Russians think, by the state of Georgia, they've decided to go and rescue them. That's the immediate reason.
Why expand through the rest of Georgia, then, if it's localized in South Ossetia and maybe Abkhazia?
Because that raises the larger issue, at least as seen by the Russians, and that is they seem to think the United States is getting ready for a new Cold War, mm-hmm. and that they're using Georgia. They have Saakashvili, who is the president of Georgia, and is really more or less in the pocket of the president of the United States. They have American arms, they have American military advisors, and it begins to look to the Russians, at least, as though this is the outpost for a new attempt to encircle the Russians.
Recognizing that historical analogies are difficult, how is this different, or is it not, from what Germany did in the 1930s in the Sudetenland?
Well, there's always been through history the examples where they something we have to do this and this, and then it turns out that it's really the cover for a much larger operation. So you have that right. The Sudetenland, where the Germans there lived, Hitler said he just wanted to free the Sudetenland and ended up by taking all of Czechoslovakia. And a lot more. And so that is kind of a tradition. The Russians say, we're only going in to get our wonderful neighbors who have Russian passports. But then it turns out there is a larger purpose.
Is that purpose to regain?